As Ryan mentioned, my name is David Zena, and I just want to thank you for the opportunity to come share my story of grace with you. I consider it an honor and a blessing to do this, and just thankful to the Lord that he's given me this opportunity. When I was deciding and thinking about where to start my testimony and this story, I couldn't help but think back where I was 12 years ago about this same time of the year. I was 33 years old, and I was at a hotel just south of here, thinking about my life and the mess that it was in. I looked very similar on the outside as I do today, but on the inside, I was an insecure, isolated, and lonely man with many acquaintances, and I was really tired of trying to control my life under my own authority and strength. I had a marriage that was ending in divorce because of my ignorance of God's word and failing to be the husband that God clearly calls men to be in his word. At the age of 9, I became a believer in Jesus Christ and what he did for me on the cross, but I never became a faithful follower of his. My idea was more about following a set of rules or guidelines, stretching them when it was convenient for me, and really just trying to be a good person through all my actions. Throughout high school and college, when I was in any sort of dating relationship, that girl automatically became the person in my mind who I was going to marry. It turned out that I was trying to find significance in my dating relationships and not in the one thing that my heart truly desired. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, Solomon says that God has set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet I was trying to find significance in temporary things and temporary relationships on this earth, and not in the eternal significance that can only come through a relationship with Jesus Christ. During my sophomore year of college, I transferred to Baylor University and met the woman who would later become my wife. Our dating relationship was a typical one for me. I gave my heart away and convinced myself that this was the girl that God has chosen for me. Although there were clear signs that this was not a healthy relationship for either one of us, she was showing signs of instability, and I was convincing myself I was her knight in shining armor, whom God had sent to save her day. We dated throughout college, and the year after college, we had an on-and-off dating relationship. Then I decided that the problems we were having could easily be solved if we became engaged and were later married. I proposed, and she accepted, and in 1990, we were married. Even though I was not spending time with God, I clearly felt his presence in my life and prompting me to end the relationship prior to our wedding day. But I refused to follow that prompting and arrogantly thought everything would be okay after we were married. Honestly, as I look back now, the reason I did not call off the wedding is that I didn't have the guts to do it. I thought too many people would be disappointed in me, I would let too many people down, and I always had a fear of rejection, and I didn't want to feel that. Our wedding night was spent with her telling me that she did not want to be married to me at all, and I was trying to convince her to trust me and that everything would be okay. All the while on the inside, as she was telling me that, I was feeling totally rejected and became very angry at God. When we returned from our honeymoon, I decided that I would pour myself into my career and attempted to fix our problems through being a great provider. Unfortunately, what she needed was a godly man. I refused to step up and be that for her or for me. Her cry for help was in having adulterous relationships with other men. This fueled my feeling of rejection, so I continued to pour myself into work and building a career for myself. As the pride of my heart would not allow me to live outside this isolation and seek help for a marriage that was spiraling out of control, I decided to remedy my need for acceptance by having an adulterous relationship of my own 3 years into our marriage. I wish I could tell you that at that moment I woke up and realized the errors of my way and fled to God. But unfortunately, I decided to do the opposite. Although I ended the adulterous relationship, I continued to pour myself into my work while never confessing my sin and pretending it never happened. Our marriage cycle continued in this way. I refused to take responsibility for the state of our marriage, and she continued to cry for help through relationships with other men. Sadly, after 9 years of living this way, I decided to do what I thought was right and what I deserved. I filed for divorce. Basically, I gave her everything and hung my hat on Matthew 19:9 that makes an allowance for divorce, as we just heard about in the video, because of marital unfaithfulness. However, I never really focused on what it says just before that in Matthew 19:6. Jesus says, "Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate." The truth is, I was an infant in my faith. I did not have the biblical knowledge to really know what God said about divorce. And the reality is, I wanted out. And I wanted that because I wanted it. There had been many godly men throughout my life who had talked to me about what an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ looked like. But I was blinded by my insecurity, by my pride, and by a laziness to even attempt to understand it. This attitude and way of living is what got me to that hotel room at the age of 33. It was at that moment when I was reading my Bible that I was convicted that I'd been trying to live under my own strength and my own authority, and I decided to submit my life to God and let Him be the authority in my life. This began my road to developing what we read about in John 15 about an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. I made the decision to trust 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come." I didn't know what that meant at the time, but I wanted to see if God's word were really true and could be trusted. I can tell you, as I look back over 12 years, God's word is true. It can be trusted because I'm a man who has been changed from the inside out. The shell of my body is the same, but the core is much different. As I study God's word, He reminds me that He is my refuge, that He is my strength, that He is my strong tower, that He loves me and He restored me. These are all promises that we read about in His word and through what Jesus did for us on the cross. After my divorce, I continued to struggle in thinking that I was less of a person now, because I had been married before and God could never use me. Again, that continued my struggle in trusting my insecurities and fears and not God. As I studied God's word, a verse that He brought to me that helped remind me of what His word can do is 2 Timothy 3:16, that says, "God's word is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness." I began to use God's word, and He used it to teach me, to rebuke me, to correct me, and to train me in my life. Before, I was an unfaithful, fearful man, prideful and selfish. Today, I am humbled and have a healthy fear of God with an understanding of His grace and His love for me, and I trust Him at His word. Joel 2:25 says that God will restore the years the locusts have eaten. And my life is evidence of that. For each one of us, God's promises at times will look different, and they will reveal themselves in different ways, but they all are true. Today, I am remarried to a woman who loves God more than she loves me. We've been blessed with 3 great kids, and in only a way God can do, I have the opportunity to work at Watermark on the married community team, counseling couples who are sitting where I was in my first marriage. Although I had biblical reasons for my divorce, today if my wife came home and shared that she had been or is involved in an adulterous relationship, I would not flee to a job. I would not flee to another woman's arms. I would not isolate myself, or I would not seek to end the marriage. Those are all things that define my past. Today, I would first run to God. I would seek wise biblical counsel. I would pray. I would rely on the Holy Spirit. And I would work on restoring my marriage. It took a failed marriage for me to realize who I am. Romans 3:23 and 6:23 tell me that I am a sinner in need of a Savior, while Ephesians 2:8 and 9 help me in understanding that Christ alone is where salvation is found. Not in how good I am or the good things that I do, but in Christ alone. God's call to me as a husband is the same today as it was in my first marriage, to love my wife just as Christ loved the church. I did not give God my best in the past. It was about what I wanted. Today, my life is a reflection of how God can take something dead and resurrect it for his glory. As I close tonight, I want to encourage you that the lesson you're about to work through is about how God loves you. And he has given you a resource for whatever circumstances you're in or have been in. Do not let divorce define who you are. Let God through his Son and Holy Spirit. If you struggle with what that looks like or what that means, please do not remain silent. Talk to your leader, someone else who you know has completely submitted their life over to Christ. We would be happy to talk to you about it. Thank you for your time tonight.